It's a schuss and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to learn Divrei Torah. And as we all know, in Eretz Yisrael and America, we're still dealing with different parshas. In Eretz Yisrael, we're dealing with Parsha Shlach, and in America, we're dealing with Parsha Baloska. And we know that these parshas are so jam-packed, so much to do. So we spoke a little about last week in Baloska, about the idea of Baloska's Haneros. I was in shul, and someone gave a Dvar Torah, and he quoted this from Moshe Feinstein, that the whole taklis, the whole purpose, is a person to look inside of himself, and then the flame goes out by himself, Yotze Me'alea, that it's able to take spark and to go and affect others. And we're going to do like we always do every week. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to try to come out with that major yisod. So we spoke about the idea of the menorah, as the Ramban tells us, of Aaron, how we just wanted to always do more, and we spoke about greeting people. And again, it's easier for some people more than others because some people have more outgoing personalities. But again, just to say hello, just to smile, could really make such a major effect in someone's life. But the end of the parsha, we didn't speak about. Again, there's so much to do in Baloska, so much to do in Shlach. Again, like, we ask a lot of questions, we try to come out with the Yisod. I know everyone's just waiting for the stories. That's just the way it works, but okay. We know at the end of the parsha, again, I want to make a correlation, a connection again between the two parshas, even though they're not really read together. As we see, there's two different parshas, but there's a lot of similarities. There's a relationship between Baloska and Shlach. See, Chazal did it for us. We know in Perek Yud Beis, very fascinating story, that we learn about Miriam and Aaron, that they're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatidaber Miriam ba'Aaron b'Moshe. They're speaking about Moshe al Odos Ha'isha Kushis, right? About his Kushis wife, talking about Tzipporah. And there's Rashi brings down that we know that Eldad and Medad were prophesizing in the Machane, in the camp. And once they heard that Tzipporah said, Rashi brings down, she said, Oy l'nisosein shel elu, imheim nisokim l'nevuah, shayu porshim minisosein. Tzipporah said, she said out loud, that the wives of Eldad and Medad, if they're giving prophecy, they're going to have to separate. And she said, just like my husband Moshe. So when Miriam heard that, she started speaking Lashon Hara. We know Miriam was punished for it. She spoke Lashon Hara. And we know in Parsha Shlach, that we're introduced to the Meragim, which we're going to speak about, obviously. One of those, so much to do in Shlach also. Again, there's so much Torah, Baruch Hashem. The Torah is vast. Anyone that's doing Baloska in America, you guys are over this year from last week. There were a lot of Yisodos that came out from Baloska. But again, right away in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Rashi brings down from the Medrash. It's again, the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe Lemor. Hashem speaks to Moshe. Shlach lecho anoshim. Send forth people, men, v'yasures eretz Kanaan, and go and spy out the land. Asher ani noisein lebnei Yisrael, that I'm giving to Klal Yisrael. And Rashi brings down, again, every word is saying darshani, is saying expound me. Again, there's a time limit. Baruch Hashem, there's a time limit. Baruch Hashem. But there's a time limit, and we can spend so much time on every little detail, because that's how vast the Torah is. Ah. But Rashi brings down the Medrash. Loma nismecho parshas Meraglim leparshas Miriam. Why is the Parsha Meraglim right after Miriam, right? Why is Shlach right after Baloska? Says Rashi, the great Rashi, Rabin Shel Yisroel, Shlomo Yitzchaki, 1040 to 1105. We got to know when these people live, right? Rabin Shel Yisroel, Lefisha Lokso al Iske Dibo. She was stricken over matters of speech. Shedibro Bracheho. She spoke against her brother, Rishom Halolu, and these spies, the Rishoyim, Rashi Shtak, Ra'u v'lo lochu Musar, they didn't take Musar. And question number one, first of all, what exactly happened here? What is this whole idea with Miriam speaking bad about the greatest leader? And furthermore, how were the Meraglim supposed to get Musar? How are they supposed to learn out from, they learned that they should have learned the Kal Vachomer. If Miriam spoke bad about her brother, the greatest Navi, so us speaking about rocks and the land of Israel, what is that? What is that Kal Vachomer? What is that? You know, last I checked, rocks and stones and lands blends with Eretz Yisrael. We love Eretz Yisrael. This is what we're here for. Eretz Yisrael and Taideh. Baruch Hashem, live in Eretz Yisrael. But what's the connection between speaking the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael and the Meraglim not taking a Musar? Question one. Question two. Very, very unclear. We spoke about this before. We're speaking a lot about things. A lot of things we've spoken about, but what in the world happened with the Meraglim? These were the Nesim. These were the Gedolim. How could it happen? How could it happen that the great Meraglim messed up like this? What was the root? Again, this is a whole, we could have a 45 minutes here just on this question. Again, sometimes I just give tidbits, But what exactly happened with the Meraglim? And we know that Yoshua and Kalev did not get involved, Baruch Hashem. Had a day. And we know that the Pasuk tells us, Gevaldik, it tells us in Pasuk Tezayin, Perek Yigimah Pasuk Tezayin, Eile Shemos Anashim Asher Shalach Moshe, Latur Es Ha'aretz, to spy out. Very interesting, this Lashon Latur in Devarim, when Moshe's talking about it, right, that 6-week period before Moshe dies, he's going through all Jewish history, he doesn't say the word Latur, he says Lachpor. Like to dig out. Over here it's Latur. There's a difference. Well, maybe we'll talk about it, probably not. Right? Latur is alright. It's by Yikra Moshe Lehoshea ben in Yoshua. And Rashi brings down, why is his name called Yehoshua? Hitpalel Allah Yikra Yoshiecha. May Hashem save you. May Itzas Meraglim. From the Meraglim. And very fascinating, the fascinating Medrash that says that we know that he used to be called Avram, and now he's called Avraham. Right, Hashem gave him an extra hay, and it used to be Sarai, and now it's called Sarah. So that little Yud was like hanging around the world, just like, yo, well, where am I going? Says the Medrash, the Yud waited to be put into the name of Yoshua. What's this all? What's this Medrash saying? Strange Medrash. Okay, so again, what's going on with the Meraglim? That's 2B, because I have another question. I'm sorry, there's a lot of questions. I'm really not doing a lot of material, and time's clicking. But question 3. We know at the end of the parsha, we go through the whole Meraglim, the whole story. They spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, which we'll talk about. And then at the end, we learn about that there's 3 mitzvahs that were given. Again, each one of these questions could be its own separate thing. We try to put all everything together. But there's 3 mitzvahs at the end. There's the Nesachim, the libations, the wine libations, where they poured onto the Mizbeach from the top. It would go all the way down into a system, the Mishnayos say, in Yuma, different Mishnayos. The challah, separating the dough from the challah, taking it to the kohen, and then tzitzis at the end, which we read every day, Baruch Hashem. We all wear tzitzis, I hope. And tzitzis. So the obvious question is how these 3 mitzvahs, there's a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah, as they say, 613. The only thing we don't fight about is we fight about what the mitzvahs are. Right, that's all the Rishonim, all they're doing is trying to figure out which of the mitzvahs the Rambam says, mitzvahs there are, but it's a whole, again, we don't 4 hours, I mean, maybe I do, but you definitely don't, I see everyone's face. So, but, what was the idea, how are these mitzvahs able to fix up? So again, 3 questions. Question number 1, what was the comparison of rocks in the land, Eretz Yisrael, and how did Miriam speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader that ever lived? Question 2, what exactly happened with the Meraglim? What does it mean that Yoshua got the Yud? He got the Yud from Sarai, from Sarah, and he brought it to Yoshua. And lastly, what is the Nesachim, the Chala, and the Tzitzis fixing up the Chet of the Meraglim? Again, so there are a lot of ideas, a lot of things, but I want to build one Yisoid. Usually it's a little more Yisoidis. And, branch out, try to squeeze it in a little. But you sowed. And again, these Dvar Torahs are for you to say over. Sometimes I know they're long. You can send me an email. You want me to make them shorter? I can. Sometimes it's hard for me, boundaries. But if you want me to make it shorter, I can. But everyone, they're for the Dvar Torahs for you to use. But it's also the Yisoidus to bring into our lives. It's really helping me more than others. These Yisoidus, you live with these Yisoidus. We're all busy. We're all working. We're all, God willing, making the cash money. And we're all doing our thing, but we can never forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. I had an interesting conversation with my oldest daughter. a couple weeks ago, and she's like, Tati, you know, what do you always, you know, you're talking and you give these shears and, you know, I seen you speak in yeshiva and you tell these crazy whacked out stories. You know, what, tell me some things to talk about. She's like, I know you always talk about Siyata Dishmaya, how Hashem's part of our life. And we actually instituted, you know, I go to, everyone knows, whoever listens, whoever's here listening, that I go to a shir of Brizak, one of the biggest mechanchim in Eretz Yisrael, in America also, where he has major teleconferences, really helping people throughout the world, dealing with crazy cases, kids off the derech, suicide case, big, big stuff. And he told me that we should start every night. I started reading this book called Living Emunah. It's like a two-page book. We read it, try to bring Emunah into our life. It's Gavaldik. Yeah, so she's like, Tati, I heard your crazy stories, how you dropped your pants and you found your pants in Gula, and someone said you're wearing your pants, and I got that. And you always end up talking about basketball. Like, but let me ask you, Tati, have you ever spoken about, like, very important topics? I'm like, what are you trying to say? My topics aren't important? What do you mean, basketball? She's like, Tati, you know, basketball is basketball. So, I actually had a really good story. I just told it to Shavuos in Yeshiva. I haven't told it here in this part. You'll have to wait. Maybe we'll say it today. Probably not. But a Gavaldic story. I think the Rosh Yeshiva and the Sarah liked it a lot. But I don't know. I think so. Hopefully I still have a job. But what do you, have you ever spoken about the topic of Lashon Hara? And I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, uh-oh, my daughter's trying to say I speak a lot of Lashon Hara. What's she trying to say? So then I'm like, you know, I used to learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. I used to learn the Chafetz Chaim. We know the great Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol Hador, the great Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan, who lived from 1838 to 1933, I think. And he wrote this amazing work, called the Chafetz Chaim. And he wrote that in 1873. Unbelievable. And he wrote the great Mishnah Berurah. But his magnum opus, as they say, if that's the right word, was his Chafetz Chaim. Again, he saved Klal Yisrael with Mishnah Berurah. Also going through all of, he knew everything. And he worked in a story. He was the guy. You know, Rashi Baradin, the Gadol Hador, they had that little bitty clip. He didn't want anyone to video him. But he got Tzaddik, a Talmud, the Gadol Hador, the Chafetz Chaim. So he wrote this beautiful book called the Chafetz Chaim. Now, what was so amazing in the Chafetz Chaim, and we have organizations just on this, is because there is no Gemara Lashon Hara. There's a couple of davim in Erechin. There's a couple of davim in Basra about telling over information to someone. There's no real work. So came the Chafetz Chaim and he put all the chazals. Again, a genius. And he didn't have Bar Ilan. You know, you didn't have a computer back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine not having a computer? Wow, people yet to, whatever. I'm not here to call out computers. My dad invented the computer. He didn't invent it. He worked a lot on it. But, so the Chafetz Chaim came with his amazing works called the Chafetz Chaim. And he actually, what are we talking about? We're talking about Lashon Hara. Now, when my daughter asked me this, I'm like, you know what? Boom. I got it. The Parsha. Talk about it in the Parsha Shir. And now I think this is the Yisod. Again, there's a lot of Yisod. This is a lot of reasons why we speak Lashon Hara. But I think to answer question number one, again, question number one is, what's the connection between Rashi saying that the Meraglim should have learned from Miriam, that just like she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, so too the Meraglim should have learned. But what should they have learned? It doesn't really make so much sense. So, from Neven Saul, the great Tzaddik in Yerushalayim, wrote a lot of Svarim. I had Zchus to speak to him a couple of times. Tremendous. He was actually when I learned in the Old City. So he came to our Siyum and he spoke a little. It was unbelievable. Neven Saul Shlita. And he says a beautiful idea. And he says, what happened here? What happened between Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu? Miriam, what was her sin? Again, these are big people, so it's hard for us to say this stuff, but I think this is Pashup Shah. Miriam did not realize that there's a difference between her and her brother Moshe. Moshe is her younger brother. And again, Moshe wasn't hurt, because the next pasuk in Baal Oskar says that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Anov Mikol Adam. This didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt his feelings. Again, Lashon Hara sometimes does hurt people's feelings. You speak something bad about someone, you should never speak bad about someone. But what's the root of it? What's the root? So says her Nevin so beautiful that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he is hurting the person. You can't take that away. And if someone speaks Lashon Hara, Rashi writes in Brachas, I was trying to find the daf, couldn't find it. Only spent like 4 hours just looking for that one little thing. I'm like, okay, calm yourself. And I couldn't find it. Rashi writes in his Perushim Brachas, I think in the first parak, I think daf ches on the base. I know it's on the base. Couldn't find it. Anyone knows where it is, please tell me. Send me an email. That he writes that the walls have ears. He says a euphemism, the walls have ears. So they do. Because you've got to be careful. I'm not going to tell you stories. I don't want to let out my dirty laundry. But you got to be careful. You know, never speak in front of an area that there are people might be in the bathroom, whatever. We don't talk about that. But a person needs to realize that you're hurting someone. You're speaking bad about someone. You don't want to speak good. We spoke about it last week about smiling and helping people. You don't want to hurt people. But what's the root of it? So the root says of Nevin Sal, based on the idea of you learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim, is that when you are speaking bad about someone, you're denying Selam Elokim. You're saying, wow, that person doesn't deserve it. And therefore, when you're saying that person doesn't deserve it, you're saying something very big. And I know sometimes we don't want to go so deep, but you're kind of questioning Hashem. How come that person got it and I didn't? You're denying Selam Elokim. Isn't that crazy? When a person, again, it's interrelated with jealousy also, but when a person says and speaks bad about someone, again, sometimes a person wronged them also, you want to get back at them, so that's a little different. But when someone speaks bad about someone, they're saying, that person doesn't deserve where he is. Says Rav Nevin Sal, Miriam said is my younger brother. I'm also a Nevuah. I'm a Nevius. I have Nevuah. Right? I'm a Nevius. I'm one of the 48 women that has Nevuah. Says the Gemara Megillah. So why is my brother better than me? And she didn't realize that he's the greatest leader. Bechor Wasserman, beautiful, writes that one of the Yugim Alikrim, the Rambam breaks down, Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest Navi, says Rav Chana, from this story, the fact that Miriam was punished shows me that she realized that she's not on the same level as Moshe. And the Pasuk says it straight out. The Pasuk says that Hashem turns to Miriam, and he doesn't even focus so much on the Lashon Hara. He says, what are you doing? I don't get it. Pale, pale, medaber bo. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to me, right? In Pasuk Ches. Paragid Beis, Pasuk Ches. Pale, pale, medaber bo. He speaks to me, pale, pale, umara velo bechidos. I don't give it in riddles, utmunos. Right? All other Nevi'im, again, there's so many topics. Ah, I tell you, it's so vast. All the Nevi'im, some Nevi'im were in dreams. They were sleeping, really. Moshe Rabbeinu was pale, pale, clear. Clarity, a spark in the ear we spoke about before. That there's this like mirror straight with him and Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, Moshe wasn't Hashem, which we're going to talk about soon. Moshe wasn't Hashem, but Moshe represented the messenger of Hashem. And she didn't realize that. That was her sin. You know what her sin was? That she didn't realize that Selam Elokim. The Pasuk says that when Chas V'Shalom someone murders someone, it says, Ki B'Selam Elokim Asa Adam. Man, Hashem made man in the image of God. So, Pashup Shot is, you killed Selam Elokim. You killed someone. You killed the image of God. Rav Demisol says a bit deeper. When you kill someone, you're denying the Selam Elokim. When a person speaks, not you, but when someone that you know, or you don't know, speaks Lashon Hara, what's the problem of it? The problem is Selam Elokim. You're denying the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because you're saying that person doesn't deserve where they are. Right? It happens all the time. We put people down. Because A, sometimes we're not secure with ourselves, which we're going to get to in a second. Since we're not secure of ourselves, and we see someone that is doing something better than us, so therefore we put him down, because we're not secure of ourselves. But that's a little different than what we're saying here. Says of Nevin Sal, based on the great Chafetz Chaim, that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's denying Selam Elokim. So that's what happened. That's the Kal V'Chomer. The Meraglim should have learned from Miriam that she spoke Lashon Hara of the greatest leader of her brother Moshe. What was the root? She denied Selam Elokim. So too, says of Nevin Sal, the Meraglim should have learned that Hashem said you're going into the land. You're denying Salmo Kim. Hashem said something, now you're questioning and speaking lashon hara about the land. And again, the land doesn't have feelings, I don't think. Right? And not yet. Right? The lands don't have feelings. If you step on it, it won't say ouch, because they don't have feelings. They're supposed to be walked on, right? So, but they don't have feelings. So what is it? It's a din in the person that's saying it. The Meraglim should have learned that by you doing this and speaking bad about the land, you're denying the Selah Elokim within yourself. Wow, kavaldic idea. Now, let's try to understand deeper the idea, the problem with the Meraglim. Because the Yisoid, sometimes I say that more clear. If I'm not saying clear, stop me. That the Yisoid is that we need to bring Selah Elokim into our life. And we have to realize Selah Elokim means that Hashem gave us this beautiful, this body and this soul, this neshama, lokai mimal. And we all have the ability for greatness, which we speak about a lot. But we can't speak bad about someone. I know it's hard, because we're so used to it. We can't speak bad, because just try one, just you're about to say something mean about someone, just close your mouth. And then for you'll show that you believe in Selah Elokim. This person deserved what they got. Oh, he's not so smart, he's not so good looking, and he has so much money, and he's... First of all, you never know what's going on in anyone else's life. You know, everyone thinks they know everything. Hashem knows everything. You never know anything, okay? You never know what's going on behind closed doors. No one does, except for the person. Hopefully they know what's going on. But a person shouldn't try to be Hashem, which we speak about. Comes along the Chofetz Chaim. Now, the Chofetz Chaim in the second volume, he writes something beautiful. In every parsha, he connects it to Lashon Hara. And, right, the Kli Yakar, who was the great Rav Shlomo Lunjens, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, he was the Rav of Prague. There was a Shidduch problem in the 1500s, so every single Dvar Torah he had in his Sefer, he connected it to Shidduchim, and a person has to get married in Shalom Bayis. So same thing over here, Chofetz Chaim, his big thing was Lashon Hara, and he brought it into every Parsha. Now, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Chelek Sheni, Perek Yates, in the second volume of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he asks beautifully, what was the sin of the Meraglim? And he says, we spoke about this before, the sin of the Meraglim is that they went into the land and they saw this awesome land and they just couldn't believe. They said, nah, this land is too good for us. And they put themselves down. And they said, this land is so amazing, so wow, look at these fruits, look at these people. This is bigger than us, we can't do it. And they told themselves that they can't do it. We spoke about this before the Medrash. Right? The Medrash about Eish and Mayan. I got an email from my uncle. Uncle G, Gedalia Bamzer, Gavaldik, and he actually summed it up nicely. Eish represents that fire, that burning inspiration. I could do anything. I could accomplish. And then the Mayim represents the water, a Mayim El Atayro, the idea of shiftless. He put it as you take the water and you splash in your face to show, wake up. You think it's just you, it's Hashem. And then you go into the Midbar, because the Midbar is a place where you could contemplate and think about it. So the Meraglim says the Chofetz Chaim, and a lot of big people say this. Moshe Weiss nowadays talks about this a lot with that Medrash. The Meraglim, what was their problem? Anachnu kechagavim. Where? Me? I can't do it. They don't believe in themselves. They didn't believe in the Tzelem Elokim. Lashon Hara is the opposite. Lashon Hara is I'm denying the Tzelem Elokim. But when a person doesn't believe in himself, he doesn't believe in the Tzelem Elokim. And that was the problem. They didn't believe in themselves. Says the Chofetz Chaim, whenever a person says to himself, me, can I learn? Can I do those mitzvahs? I'm so busy. He says this explicitly. He writes it straight out in the Chofetz Chaim. That is the sin of the Meraglim. When a person says, I can't do it, that is the sin of the Meraglim. And we all do it to ourselves. And we all tell ourselves, oh, I'm too busy. I can't learn. I can't do this. But no, we could do what we want. We just have to prioritize what we want to do. We have to put the time into it. It's hard. Everyone has, you know, everyone gets busy. Baruch Hashem, everyone has families. And everyone has to, you know, do things in this world. But we need to make spirituality part of our life. That, says the Chofetz Chaim, was the problem. They didn't believe in themselves. And the Meshech Chochmah, the great Meshech Chochmah, the Meir Simcha Midvinsk, from 1843 to 1926, says this idea. When Kalev was coming back and trying to get to the Am, the Pasuk says that Kalev came back, and the Pasuk says that he was speaking about Moshe, and he said, the Pasuk of Perek Lamed, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed, Vayas Kalev Es Ha'am El Moshe,
Kalev came back and he hushed the people. Right, Esa'am, El Moshe. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Again, Pasuk Lamed, El Moshe. Lishmor Mashi Yidaber Ben Moshe. To listen what he said against Moshe. And he cried out, oh, Ben Amram. And then everyone, oh, they thought they were going to talk bad. Lashon Hara, talk bad about him. Denai Yitzelma Lukim. And then he started talking about the greatness of Moshe. Meshach makes a little different approach. He says, what does it mean, El Moshe? He says, Gevaldik, says the Meshach Chachma. That Klal Yisrael, again, they were in the Midbar. They were in the Midbar now. They were supposed to go right into Eretz Yisrael. But they didn't believe in themselves. Again, like we're saying. They didn't believe. They didn't believe in themselves. Elohim. Hashem said, you're going to get this great land. And they didn't believe in themselves. They misplaced the Eish and the Mayim. And they should have had confidence. They should have went in strong. Selam Elohim, I could do it. And they deny it. Why did they deny it? Because in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be harder. They're going to have to work the land. They were going to have to agriculture. They're going to have to work it. In the Midbar, they had everything on a silver plate. They had the Anan, they had protection. They had the mon, they had their food. They had they had the water. Everything was coming to them. And there was a life of the Dora Dea. It was a life that everything was easy, which we've spoken about before. And now they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael and they said, I can't do it. It's too difficult for me. And they didn't believe in their Tzelem Elohim. So since they didn't believe, that was maybe the root. That was the root. The root of the problem of the Meraglim is that they didn't believe in the Tzelem Elohim. The Medrash says, oh, what's the connection to Yoshua? Because Yoshua, why did he take a Yud? So I heard a beautiful idea. I heard Rishon Rosner spoke about it, a beautiful idea. He said, why did Yud? Because if you look at the end of Brachos, the Gemara says that you can't call Avram anymore, it's Avraham. Hey represents, right? Hashem created the world with a hey. Hey represents the community, represents the idea of that Avram became Hamon, he became the Av Hamon of the whole nation. Sarah became Ein Kol Chai. She became the mother of the whole nation. The Hay represents the being together as a group, as the Hay Ayedia. And Yud represents the person within himself. Basi, my house. So why did Yoshua get that Yud? Because Yoshua was being affected from his surroundings. There was Lashon Hara going on, and they weren't talking well, they weren't speaking good things about Eretz Yisrael. So at that point, Yoshua had to separate. He couldn't have the hay. The hay was bad. So he needed the Yud from Sarah, of Sarai, and to have it Yoshua. Gevaldic idea. Yoshua. Because he needed to be separate from everyone. Yehoshua. Right? We say every day in Davening that Hashem, we have our Hashem, right? Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Elokei Avraham. We have our God, our specific God. He's our God. Everyone has a unique relationship with our Father in Heaven. But also, we have Klal Yisrael. This idea, Yoshua needed to use his individualism. He needed to realize that I had to separate from this group. So again, the Meraglim didn't believe in their Tzelem Elohim. They just felt that it's too hard for them. They can't do it. It's going to be, right? The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Hey, Eretz Yisrael Nikna Bisurin, it's hard. So many stories, people going to Eretz Yisrael, it's hard. It's not an easy country, right? And the whole idea is no, because this is our promised land. This is what Hashem has given Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is a special land. It's an amazing land. And the Meraglim denied it. They denied it. They thought it was too hard. They said they couldn't do it. And they denied the Tzelem Elohim. So what's the fix-up of it? What's the fix-up? Beautiful. What's the fix-up? The Nesachim, the Chala, and the Tzitzis. The Sfas Emes, beautiful. Rav Yehuda Alter, who again lived in 1847 to 1905, the great Grand Rebbe. This idea I heard many times from different people, that the Nesachim represents, again, we take the water and we pour it from top to bottom. Right, on Sukkot, we had Nisach HaMayim, we pour the water on the Mizbeach, on the altar, and during the other times of the year, we take Nisach HaYayin, we take the wine, and we pour it on the Mizbeach. And the idea of pouring is to take heavenly and bring heavenly into earth, from top to bottom. Nisachim is to pour. Mishnayos talk about that there was a whole system, that they would get the wine, and then it was like a whole fountain system with the wine. That's the Nesachim. What's challah? Challah is the wheat and the bread. And we're tarimu. We take from the bottom, from the aretz, and we bring it up to Shamayim. Hamotzi lechem min
Meman min hashamayim. Hamotzi, what would Bracha do make? Hamotzi lacha min haaretz, from the land. And tzitzis, the end, represents that we have clothing, protection, wearing, and we can make it into spiritual. You know what the fix of the miraglim was? The fix of the miraglim was is that we can put Selam Elokim in everything we do. Every aspect that we do, we could bring Selam Elokim into it. We could take the nesachim, the wine, the libations, take it down and bring it from Shemayim to Aretz. And we could take the Aretz, the land, and we could bring it to Shemayim. And we all have the ability to do it with our brachas, with our tefillah. We could just stand in front of Hashem because we have the idea, the ability of Tzelem Elokim, to believe in ourselves, that we could do it and we could bring Kedusha into everything. We have the ability to bring Kedusha into things. And we have to realize that. The fix of the Meraglim was that they didn't believe in themselves and they denied that you're going to work hard and be successful. But we believe and we know that we will work hard and we will be successful. But it's the Mayim. It's the being humble, realizing it's the Ribbono Shel, how Hashem loves us. That's what we're working on. Tzitzis represents the 613 mitzvahs. The gematria of tzitzis, as we all know, is 600, the five knots, and the eight strings, 613. And we know that we have Techeles. The beautiful Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Soloveitchik also went with this idea, the great Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim Ibn Atar, who lived in 1697 to 1743, the great Rav, in Eretz Yisrael, started from Morocco, and Rav Soloveitchik goes deep into this idea in reflection of the Rav by Rav Schechter, that this idea of tzitzis, because we have techeles, tzitzis is white, Machlokes Pin Rashi and the Rambam, what the color of techeles, we know it as blue, maybe it's black, Machlokes are showing how many strings, we hold of one, Rambam holds one, but Rashi maybe holds four and four. Says with Soloveitchik that the beautiful idea is tzitzis represent, the whiteness represents clarity. Clarity, he puts it as man accomplishing, man working, man technology, man accomplishing what he can, putting his effort, his ishtadlus into it. But then the blue represents that we're not Hashem, that Hashem is running the world. Everyone has blue in their life. Because Hashem, we don't decide. We do our ishtalis and we try our best. But we don't decide what happens. There's a blue in everyone's life. And you hope for the best and you daven and you learn and you do what you can. But there's the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Or HaChaim calls it from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, I think, Tavla Da'avda. Rashi at the end of the parasha says that what's the whole idea of tzitzis representing Bechor leaving Mitzrayim, because when they're in Mitzrayim, what's the connection? Because when they're in Mitzrayim, they had a tavla, they had a plaque that said they're in Eved. And now when we wear tzitzis, we're showing that we're an Eved of Hashem. And being an Eved Hashem is the greatest thing. Because when you have definition and you have meaning, and we're doing it for Olam Hazeh, for this world, and Olam Haba, which we forget about so much, for the next world, our life is a different life. We learn Torah for our spiritual growth. We do the mitzvahs to connect to Hashem. And this is how we're going to fix up for the Meraglim. I think on a practical, again, I didn't tell so many stories, and she was going on. But I'll tell one quick story. I haven't told a story in a long time. I actually told it at my grandfather's Yurtzeit a couple years ago, or Bobzer. I heard a story from Charlie Rowdy, great story. It just shows that a person just can't give up on himself. There was this big, right, great football player, and Charlie Rowdy was talking to him, and he said, you know, tell me a point. You know, you're huge, you're ripped. Where was a point that you really viewed it as a peak moment? He said, listen, when I was in high school, I was that guy. I was a ripped guy, and I was huge. I go to college, and I'm just not able to perform. What, right, we'll call him Josh. I think I called him Josh. I think his name was Josh. And my coach saw that. I just can't perform in games. I'm like that guy, that practice guy. I can't do it. And my coach realized that I'm really good. I just can't bring it out. So the coach the night before saw something called the death crawl. I didn't tell the story in yeshiva in a long time. He used to tell me other yeshiva. So the death crawl. Death crawl is that you can't move your arms. You get on the floor and you just move yourself with your body strength. It's crazy. I could probably do like 1 yard, like 1 foot, like move myself a little, like wiggle. I don't. So the coach said, I saw this death crawl. And he said, Josh, I want you to do the death crawl. He said, what are you talking about? He's like, I want you to get to the 20-yard line. He's like, what? He says, not only am I putting on a blindfold, and I want the little running back, little Billy, it's going to sit on your back. He's like, what? And the whole team is, Josh. And he's going, and he's working hard, and he's working hard, and he's screaming in pain, and he can't do it. And he's on the blindfold, and he gets to the 10-yard line. And then he gets to the 15-yard line. And he's screaming in pain, and the whole team's like, come on, you can do it, believe in yourself. They weren't screaming, sell a little kid. They don't know, sell a little kid, right? The whole stadium, sell a little kid. Right? They weren't doing that, I don't think. And he's going, and he passes the 20. He got where? So he's like, I can't do it. And the coach is like, come on, you can do it. Push. And he's pushing, and he keeps on going. 30, 40. Hits the 45-yard line and falls to the floor and says, see, coach, I couldn't do it. Looks up, and he got to the 45-yard line. So he's supposed to get to the 20. We need to believe in ourselves. It's a big story. Because we set limits on ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to realize that we could do what we need to do. But, Art Selmelo Kim, but at the same time, we need to realize that it's the Rebbe Shalom helping us, giving us that guidance. We all could grow on this Selmelo Kim. When we want to speak bad about someone, just stop it. Either because you're jealous or you're not sure of yourself, that's why you have to speak bad. Just try to shut your mouth. Again, we're not going to be perfect. You know, as I always say, Rome wasn't built in a day. What's up? I don't want to call anyone out specifically this year. They'll get jealous, but you know, whatever. Avram, what's up? Avram, Gelby, what's up? Okay, but again, Rome wasn't built in a day. And it takes time. You're not going to stop us speaking Lashon Hara in 1 minute. Shut your mouth one time. You want to speak something bad? Don't say it. Show the Tzelem Elokim. Bring Kedusha into our actions. Brachos. Have one brach with a kavana. Kriyat Shema. It's a Doraisa din. How many people think 10 seconds before they cover their eyes to say Shema? Hashem, you created the world. You do everything. And it's hard. We live in a big world. I understand. But we all have to realize how much we can do. Everyone, please be in touch. Send me emails. I love emails. Please be in touch. Everyone, let's work on this together. Let's build our Lashon Hara. Not speak Lashon Hara. Let's try to build our relationships. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Realize how much. Again, Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Ova Shoham, she used to tell people, you want Shidduchim? Just learn two halachas of Lashon Hara. What's the Shaychus? Because we want to better our relationships. We've got to speak good about them. Let's build ourselves. Let's realize we could do whatever we want. Let's not fall prey of the Meraglim. As the Chofetz Chaim said, that we say, when we can't do it, that's Meraglim. We could do what we want, but we always have to link it back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let us bring Kedusha into everything we do. It's not easy. We live in a big world, and sometimes we're brought down from other people, but let us build Kedusha into our lives. Bez Hashem, everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, should build themselves. Please be in touch. Have an amazing Shabbos, Ba'aleischa in America, and Shlach in Eretz Yisrael. Have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.